All right, let's take our Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Matthew, and chapter number 20. Matthew chapter number 20, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Appreciate the preachers that have shown up tonight. I like it when preachers come to a meeting because I love preaching to sinners. And of course, we preachers realize we need it more than anybody else. So we appreciate each other. And if you were here for the meal, Sister Sharon's birthday, we hit it, man. You talked about just right. But really, I've been planning on going on a diet sometime, and so I thought today I'd just eat a child's portion. I went with full intention of a child's portion, and Brother Scott got mad. He pulled out a knife. He said, "Buddy, you're going to eat more than that, I'll tell you." I thought about calling the law. I said, "Well, I'll wait until after dessert." I plumb forgot about it. We had some good, a whole lot of good. Then I got over there into the bad, which was the dessert, and it's turned plumb ugly is what's happened. I'm carrying it around. But we certainly did enjoy it. Enjoyed that singing. All this choir, this family singing. I love to hear folks that love to sing, know what they're singing about, and can sing. I heard one preacher said he had a woman come to him on one Sunday morning and said, "Why'd you let my husband sing?" He said, "Well, because he can't." I said, "It ain't supposed to hurt." But the singing going on around here don't hurt. It does feel good, and I thank the Lord for it. Now, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1 there, down through verse number 16. The Bible said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, about 9 in the morning, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, 'Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you.' And they went their way." Now, if you'll notice in verse number 2, the first ones that came, they came upon an agreement or a contract. The second ones and those thereafter that came to work in this field, they came based upon whatever the householder thought was right. Verse number 5, "He went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, about 12 and about 3 o'clock in the evening, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out about 5 o'clock and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, 'Why stand ye here all the day idle?' They say unto him, 'Because no man hath hired us.' He saith unto them, 'Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive.' So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first.' When they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny." That was a day's wages. "But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny," or a day's wages. "When they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, 'These have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen." We began on the morning hour talking about these parables, these short earthly stories with heavenly meaning. The word parable simply means to take objects and lay them down side by side, to see that which is in one that will remind you of what is in the other. And what Jesus was doing in those parables is he is reaching out and getting worlds and laying them down, and then in letting us look inside of them, not for bedtime stories or entertainment, but because there's divine truth in there that you could never see unless he showed it to you. And so he lays down these different worlds and he takes us into them. We talked about the world of the natural. He always begins where you are. And then the world of the spiritual. It was after your first birth, your natural birth, you found out somehow there was a spiritual birth that is in Christ. There's not only the natural wind, but there is the spiritual wind of the Holy Ghost. The natural, there was the spiritual. And then there's the individual that in each parable, some 40-odd parables, if you look at them just right, you will see yourself. That's what gives them life and light, finding out that you are inside of that parable. You may be the prodigal son on the journey to the far country, or you may be the one that was wounded, half dead, being restored by the good or God's Samaritan. You may be the one that's building your house upon the sand, and hopefully you're building upon the rock. But somewhere you will find yourself in that parable. But the greatest thing that you see is not only the world of the natural and the world of the spiritual, and but you see the world of the personal, but you also see the world of the eternal. In other words, Jesus is in every parable. And the reason why that he is showing them these parables is he wants them to see him. As I said this morning on several accounts, I'll say again tonight, there is a sense in which all of us are nothing more than short stories. We are parables that he wants to come into our good, our bad, and our ugly. He wants to reveal himself and give a heavenly meaning to our earthly experience. He's wanting to come into your story or into your parable. But in this one here tonight, I want to preach on what I would call the world of grace. He takes us into the world of grace in this parable. And of course, he's wanting us to see grace. He's wanting us to experience grace. And we realize that it is a world of grace because grace is found throughout this parable. It is filled with the truth of grace. Let me just amplified, and I'll give you two or three thoughts. Grace is found in this parable because there was a morning of which these men could be hired and could labor to get enough to suffice them for their daily needs. The sun did arise. Don't you know it's grace? Every time and every day the sun arises so that we can live our lives as we do. It was grace in that it was not raining and it was not too cold. The weather was not too bad. It was a good day that they could go and work. Thank God for the good days that God gives us, don't you? It was a good day in that the householder has shown up where they're at, with a desire to employ them in his field. Oh, what a good day of grace that God has manifested. I'm here to tell you, if you can see it, you've got to see it. We're going to see it in this parable. God's grace is all around you. The abundance and the fullness of his grace. It was grace in this text that the first and the last had the energy, had the health, had the ability to do the work that needed to be done. They were employed to do so. It was grace in that there was a wage, there was a payment that is given because of the labor that they are laboring. finding grace and receiving grace and seeing the grace of God. We're going to notice in this text, finding grace, seeing grace, and receiving grace is the difference between first and last. It is the difference between bitter or blessed. And it is the difference between mad and glad. I want you to understand, I'm interested in going through my days glad. I'm interested in living my days, whatever they are, blessed. I'm interested in living my days thankful because of what God has done, and I'm able to see grace in my family. I'm able to see grace in the wife that He gave me. I'm able to see grace in the children that are mine. I'm able to see grace in the 13 grandchildren. I'm able to see grace in being able to come and to preach here at this church and to be with your wonderful pastor and his wife and with the family. I'm looking at grace. So I ain't mad, I'm glad. Now, three thoughts. He's taking us into the parable. He wants us in this short story to look around and see His grace. It is everywhere. But to experience and embrace this grace, the first thing that has to be done is you have to deal with the worth issue. You've got to deal with your value in your own sight. And we understand by these who came early, we're going to say this man who came early, that he went into this field based upon a contract. There were figures that were laid out between him and the good man of the house. He is calculating in his mind how much he thinks he's worth and how valuable he feels he is to this householder, this man that owns the field. And so he gets all of his figures together and presents them. And guess what? The householder accepts the figures. They both sign the contract. He starts his day working and ends his day working with the calculations and the figures of the facts of the contract that was signed. Now, if we were to go back 5 or 6 verses into the previous chapter, you can read it when you get home, that the whole reason why Jesus gave this parable was because Peter had said to the Lord, he said, now, we have forsaken all, in verse 27 in chapter 19, and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? He said, now, Lord, here's what we're doing. What are you going to do because of what we're doing? He said, I'd like to get this on paper in the beginning so we can work off the facts. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's all right if you're thinking about buying a car. You do want to know the figures. And it's all right if you're thinking about earthly employment. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're dealing with God, you don't want to enter into a contract nor operate off of some figures. And so what God says to Simon Peter, he said, Simon, you don't need to be worrying about that. What you will find out when it's all over with is that you will get what you deserve. He goes on and amplifies it, what he's going to receive in this life and in the life to come. But here's the thing that matters about it. Peter's going to get his grace. And honey, whether we can see it or not, it doesn't stop the fact that God's grace is everywhere for all of us on some level in the physical and some in the spiritual. But If you're going through your relationship with God Almighty based upon a contract and figures, you're going to end up sometimes feeling like you've been cheated. God, I didn't think it was going to be like this. Lord, I figured you'd treat me better than this. God, I'm always down to the end. I feel like I've been cheated a little bit. You put out a contract according to how you felt your value was. The only problem is you may estimate your value and end up getting what you thought you were worth. And I'm going to tell you, your judgment and your value will always be less than what the Father wants to give you. But if somehow you want to get under contract, as he did, he set this contract. He bargained with grace, throwed himself into the figures, and got what he contracted for, and ended up mad about it. I'm talking about your worth. How much do you think you're worth? How much do you think God owes you? What is your value? A chemist said that if you took the human body and turned it into fertilizer, your body, where you're sitting right now, turned it into fertilizer, it would be worth 57 cents. Now, that's before Biden inflation. You might be up to 67 cents. But he said the process would cost more than what it would be worth. And besides that, it's illegal. You can't do it. Because the body becomes corrupt, if you know what I mean. And here's what I want to say to you. That in this matter of grace, in our connection with God, in our service with the Lord, we need to let grace call us and let grace cover the cost of whatever it may be. And I promise you, whenever you get down to the end, if you have operated off of his grace, what is it? Whatever is right is what I'll do. Hey, boys, come in, work my field, and whatever's right. Would you like to have what God thinks is right or what you figured you're worth? Let him call and cover the cost, and you will never, never, never feel like you're cheated. Because you're not figuring anything. You're operating off of faith. Huh? If you're going to enjoy grace, he's taking us into the world of grace. But if you're going to enjoy the grace that God has abundantly put in your life, and I done told you, it's everywhere, you'll have to deal with the worth issue. You may not be as worth as much as what you think you are. So, the second thing I would emphasize to, well, let me give you this illustration. My grandson, Jude, he lost a couple of his teeth, you know, baby teeth. I was talking to him on the phone one night when he had lost one. I said, Jude, you hold on to that until Daddy Dana gets there, and I'll give you $10. That's what I told him over the phone, $10. He said, no. 7 years old, he said, no. I said, why? He said, I want the tooth fairy to bring me my money. Okay. The next day or two, I got around him, and I said, hey, Jude, how much did the tooth fairy bring you? He said, $3. I said, you know why? You live in Georgia. You got a cheap tooth fairy. In Alabama, we don't have cheap tooth fairies. Next time he's down there, he's trying to pull a tooth. He couldn't get a tooth pulled. He thought in Alabama, it wouldn't be a cheap tooth fairy. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to end up feeling like that you didn't get what you thought you was worth. If you're operating, I'm going to tell you, off the figures and the contract. And I'm going to tell you, every relationship you have will be the same. If your marriage is a contract, you say, well, we made our vows, and you're going to keep your side of the vows, and you're going to keep your... Honey, it's going to be a fight all the way to the end. You're going to wake up every morning wanting to fight because you feel like you've been cheated. Can I get an amen? Amen? We'll go with the ladies first. No amens? Huh? Your children feel like, man, I'm the black sheep of the family. It looks like you're doing, I'm trying to operate off some kind of contract. Huh? And the last thing you want to do is come to the house of God with some kind of a demand because you think you're worth more than the person sitting beside you. You're going to be miserable. Yes. Working off. He's saying, Peter, I don't want you to be living your life trying to serve me and serve a contract at the same time. You're going to have to deal with the worth issue. Boy, I'm going to tell you, when you feel like that you're not worthy of that wife, you're not worthy of that church. You know, the word worship contains within it the word worth. That's the heart of it. And that's why we worship him, because he's the only one worth it. And that's why we don't worship ourselves or we don't worship others, because they're not worth it. Hey, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings tonight. You just ain't worth it. But honey, if you're looking at God's grace, you're not living off of worth anyway. Second thing I would say to you, I preach short this morning. I always preach short. I'm 5'7", 3/4". I mean, I can't have it. Did y'all get that? I'm short. If you're going to enjoy and embrace the grace of God, you're going to have to deal with the worth issue. You're going to have to know he didn't come after you because you was worth it. So don't put any demands on it. But the second thing is, I notice about this guy, is if you're going to enjoy God's grace in everyday living, you're going to have to deal with the works issue. You see, he has bargained, and now he is begrudging. He is upset. He has operated off a contract according to figures. It has affected his feelings. Notice how he blurts out. And in doing so, he's wanting to control the whole circumstance and situation, not only of his life, but of the householder that owns the field and of all the other workers that are there. He's saying, hey, can't you listen to me, what I'm telling you? Here's how I'm telling you it ought to be. And he blurts it out to him. Look in verse number 11. And they had received it. They murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us. He's calculating. Calculating. He is comparing. One with the other, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. He's saying, it's kind of like the prodigal son's elder brother talking to his daddy under this feeling of a contract. He said, man, I have worked all this time while he's partied, and now you've given him a party and you didn't give me one. I got a good idea why he didn't give him a party. Because there wasn't nobody come. Would you go to a party for a fellow that's grumbling and growling like that? And here this guy, he has thrown out his works. He's got all of his math, his figures, his calculations. He said, here I worked from the morning. I worked all the way to the evening. I come in at 9. I'm leaving out at 5. And I'm going to tell you, the sun was hot. But I noticed that guy that came in last, he only worked 1 hour. He didn't work like I worked. And I believe you ought to pay me according to what I worked.
And the good man in the house said, I did. Didn't I give you what you demanded? Right. Didn't I give you what was on the contract? He said, yes, you did. But what I want you to know is I did more work than they were. What difference does it make?
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Obviously, he ain't paying by the hour. He's paying by grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was your contract and your desire to control everything that throws you into this gear of being angry that has brought you to the place that you are. He's got to deal with the works and the worth issue. You see, now we notice that it's all about the minutes. It's about the money. He wants what's fair. And if he don't get it, he's going to feel like he's last. And worth and works will always bring you to last. You'll feel like you've been cheated. You've been done wrong. And no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter who your boss is, no matter how much you're paid, no matter who you work with, no matter when you start, and no matter when you stop, if you're working, if you're there because of your worth and your works, you're going to end up some days feeling like you're last. And because of that, you're going to want to limit. Isn't that a shame? He's wanting to limit the grace of God. The good householder is wanting to give the last as much as he gave the first. You ought to be happy about that. I thought about that glad man as far as the prodigal son was concerned. I mean, he ought to have been thrilled when his brother came home. He ought to have been glad that he's always been at home. Oh, no, I'm not talking about somehow patting yourself on the back. I think he ought to have been glad that he had never experienced what that boy experienced. He doesn't have the scars that that boy has. And that he's always been where the father loved him, always been there close to him, always been a part of the home. And I'm going to tell you, he ought to have been glad, but he's mad. There's nothing any more dangerous. And I'm a Baptist. Matter of fact, if I wouldn't, I'd be ashamed of myself. I are one. I mean, I believe Methodists go to heaven if they're saved. I believe Presbyterians go to heaven if they're saved. But if we're going to heaven, we might as well go first class. Baptist. But I'm going to tell you something. Your religion is the meanest thing about you.
Amen.
Did you know that when Jesus came, some of the most religious folks had ever been was on earth? They believed in the inspiration of the scriptures because they said we have Moses as our lawgiver. They said we got an inspired book. I do too, don't you? But don't let that make you mean.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
You get to operating off of your works and your worth, honey. That'll make you mean. You start using that book against people instead of for them. They believed in eternal security. They did. They said, well, we've got Abraham as our father. We don't have to worry about it. We're in. Didn't they? They believed in the coming of the Lord. All them Old Testament saints looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. They believed in the church, the assembly. They believed in prayer. They did it three times a day. They believed in fasting. And God showed up in flesh. And guess what religion did to him? Killed him. You let religion get mad, honey, and it'll hurt you. And this man is mad. That elder brother was mad. As a matter of fact, the elder brother was so mad. Listen to what I'm telling you. I don't believe the elder brother would have ever been satisfied in heaven until he knew his brother went to hell. Listen at it. Oh, Oh, it is possible. Everything this man said was right. He did come in at that hour, right, and he did leave at that hour, and he did do all of that work, and he did suffer the heat on it. All of it was right, but he was so right it turned him into being wrong. His very spirit and attitude was one that was mad because it felt like he'd been cheated. Upset, angry, furious, because grace took care of the man who was last. And truth of the matter is, this guy never was last anyway. Did you know that? He had no right to be upset. He wasn't last physically. He was able to do the work. He wasn't certainly last mentally because he had it all figured out. And he wasn't last personally. He was the first one that was picked. But yet he feels like he's last. He's crying out saying, "It ain't fair. I know I signed the contract. I know I put a demand. I know I got what I thought I was worth. Now I'm mad about it." But I'm just wondering, what is, that which we feel is fair, is it fair to everybody? You see, his thinking is, I've worked all of these hours and he just worked one, and therefore I should get more than him. But listen to me, the truth of the matter is, if you're going to walk in somebody else's shoes, you can't just walk in one portion of their life. You have to take the whole life. Do you know why that man worked 1 hour? We don't know. He could have worked 1 hour because he had to go out and bury a son or a daughter that day. Or he's got a wife that has a terminal illness or something of that nature. I don't know what's going on in his life to cause him not be able to work but 1 hour. But I'm going to tell you something. Even if I had worked the full hours, I don't think I'd be willing to take a chance and trade all of my life for what's going on in that man's life.
Oh, my preacher, man.
I don't know what's going on in your short story. I don't know what's going on in your parable. I mean, you may be much taller than I am, as I said, but I've never seen a man that was an inch taller than me or a foot taller than me that I was willing to take a chance and swap bodies and swap lives for what's going on in his life versus what's going on in my life. I have my good, bad, and ugly, but I ain't trading it with you. And if you got any sense, you wouldn't trade it for mine. So let us not look around us and see others that we think that they're blessed, but yet we are less and seem to demand more because we think we've done more. And somehow we want that portion of their lives of which we think they got more than what we did. But you can't take the portion. You got to take the whole thing. And so he went through that whole day and missed the most important part of the day. And you know what it was? It was grace. Grace that let him in. Grace that let him work. Grace that gave him the strength. Grace that gave him the sunshine. Filled with grace. Because he was living on the basis of the figures and feelings and the contracts and the control. I ain't satisfied unless I can run the show. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you're operating off the contract, if you're operating in the figures, if you're operating off the worth and the works, I promise you, you're going to spend many days in misery. In your job, in your marriage, in your church, in all your relationships, you're going to feel like, man, I'm a black sheep around here. But here, he's taking Peter into, he said, "Peter, please don't serve me based upon your worth and your works. You're going to hinder me in what I want to do for you."
Amen.
And not only for you, but for others. But get this. If you're going to experience
and enjoy the grace of God in everyday living. You're going to have to deal not only with the worth and the works, but you're going to have to deal with the will issue. The will issue.
Yes.
Did you notice how that came out of the text there?
Yes.
Notice what he said. I emphasize it as I read in verse number 14. You know what God's going to do in your life? What he wants to.
Yes.
Is that all right with you? He sent him into the field and he said, hey, you go work. We got no papers. We got no contract. They don't need bringing no lawyers in. I'll do what's right. Woo! Huh? You know what God's going to do in my life? What he's going to do in your world, in your situation, in your good, bad, and ugly? What he wants to. Is that okay? You think what he wants to be okay? Huh? Now, notice what he says here. Verse 13, but he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree for a penny? Ain't that what you thought this worth? You figured it all up. Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. That's why the Jews hated Jesus so much. Because they felt like they were first and the Gentiles wouldn't even in the crowd. And when he got to ministering to the Gentiles and the sinners, they got mad. But Jesus said, hey, if I want to reach out there and do the same for the last of them or even more than the first, that's my business. If he wants to save a drunkard, that's his business. If he wants to save a harlot and let him come in here and sing in the choir, that's his business. If he wants to save a drunk addict and let him take over the pulpit and preach to the rest of us, that's his business. He wants to get a tattooed sinner lady and save her by his grace and fill her heart. And she realizes she has no worth or works within herself and put her on the piano. Say amen. Woo! Notice it. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? See, truth of the matter is, this is all under his auspices and authority. And what we learn from this text that he wants Peter to know and you and I is it's not about figures and feelings and fairness. It's about favor. Aren't you glad God's not fair? Have you ever thought about that? He ain't fair. Now, don't get mad about it, but he never has been. Huh? If God was fair, do you think his son would have went to the cross? You reckon maybe you ought to have been there and me? I've always, honey, I want you to know, if you move out of the worth and the works and you get in line with his will and what he thinks is right, you'll always feel like you got more than what you deserve. It's not about the contract and the control. It's about his compassion. It's not about the guarantees. It's about his grace. It's all around you. Can you see it? I notice a good man of the house gives no reason for his actions because you can't explain what he did. I've heard people say, and I thought it when I used to read this text, this don't make a lick of sense to me. Why you'd pay the last as much as you pay the first when it's coming out of your pocket and your business. That's correct, and it's his business, so let him do what he wants to.
That's why the elder brother was mad again. It's because the brother took all his portion, went in the far country and spent it all, and come back and had as much as what he had when he left. You know why? Because you can't take from the Father and leave any less than what he had when you took it. He's always full of grace. Grace for grace, grace in grace, grace behind grace, grace under grace, grace over grace. It's all grace. I'm going to tell you, for 53 years, I've been living out of the wellspring of his grace.
I never stood behind the sacred desk that I felt like I was worth preaching and worthy to preach. But I'm so glad that his grace has allowed me to do so.
Huh? There is no explanation. He doesn't say why. He doesn't tell that man, so well, don't be so upset. This is my wife's husband. He's my brother-in-law. That's why I did that. No, he doesn't do it because of family connections. Huh? Oh, me and this old boy, we're friends. We go back a long time. We went to high school together. No, that's not why he's doing it. He didn't save you because there was something in you that was worth saving. Oh, if I can save this and I can get a lot out of him, he'll be worth it. Oh, no, there wasn't anything in you worth saving, nor me. It's his grace that you're in this church tonight and sitting in these. Don't you get the idea you come to church, pat me on the back, I showed up. No, honey, it's his grace. It even gave you the desire to come to his house and to worship him. You'll have to line up if you enjoy grace, but you're going to have to deal with the works issue, the worth issue, and the will issue. It moves you from bargaining with grace and begrudging grace to the blessings of grace. Now, a couple of thoughts and I'll be done. This whole text is filled with the signs of grace. It's everywhere. Everywhere. The very spirit of grace abounds for those that can see it. But I'll tell you, the thing that I like about this above anything else is the surprise of grace. Grace always surprises you. Huh? He said, now there was no surprise to that first guy. He had his contract. Oh, Miss Gold, I'll tell you what, I got it down here in print. If he thinks he's going to cheat me, I got it right here. So you know, you think you know, you've already settled it. Well, you ain't getting no surprise. No surprise to those who think they're worth it.
Oh, listen, preacher, yet.
And think, you know, they've done enough to earn it. Entitlement is the enemy of grace. You don't deserve it.
But oh, when you've placed your life in his hands and you said, Father, whatever you say, not my will, as Jesus said, but thine be done. You get surprises out of it. I love surprises, don't you? started out, even now, sometimes a preacher, somebody will come and they say, preacher, how much will it cost? How much to have you come preach for me? I got better sense than that. I ain't going on no contract. I don't tell them this, but I do look to heaven and say, surprise me. And guess what? Guess what? He surprised me many times. Huh? Woo! Boy, he surprised me when he gave me the beautiful wife that he gave me that loves the Lord, travels every mile, drives me everywhere. I mean, he surprised me with them four young'uns that are saved and I believe love the Lord. He surprised me. 13 grand young'uns? I feel like running right now. He surprised me. He surprised me that I'm even preaching here. I'm surprised. Amen. I mean, I know the quality pastor and preacher that you've got.
I mean, you've got the best, and I mean that, the best of the best. You've got it. And here I am preaching. Surprise! Some of you are looking like shocked, you mean. Woo! We got to be here. We might as well enjoy it. Amen?
Amen.
Huh? Surprise! Now, I want to illustrate this. We're going to use the one that thought he was last and the other one that was paid first. They're both going to their homes. Okay? Wow. They both worked in the same field.
Wow.
And they're both going home with the same thing. Mm. There ain't no difference the check. Ain't nobody been done wrong. Ain't nobody been beat. And nobody, just one knows its grace, and the other don't.
Amen.
I don't care what you got. If you don't see grace, you're going to be mad about it.
Yes.
Something about it ain't going to work out right. Hmm? So I'm going to illustrate the guy that's grunt. Oh, wait a minute. I know she paid that guy. Did you give him as much as you gave me? He said, yes, I sure did. That's my will to do so. He got his check after he done told the boss off, the good man of the house. And can you imagine him on the way home? Look at that. I want you to look at it. Whew. And his buddy looks at it and says, yeah, it's a day's wages. That's what I'm talking about. Well, didn't you? I thought you're the contract. It said day's wages. I know, but I was worth more than that. And I mean, when I got to counting and figuring up what that guy, I mean, I'm mad. And you're looking at me like you ain't never been there. He gets to the house, and I'm going to tell you, he kicks the dog, screams at the young, get off the porch and go move rocks around, carry rocks, do something, slams the screen door. And the wife said, honey, what's wrong? I'll tell you what, look at this, look. She looks and said, yeah, you got a day's wages. Man, we can pay the bills. No, I'm mad. She said, what are you mad about? I'm telling you what I'm mad. If you'd have been there and you'd have seen after all the works I did and the contract I signed, I'm telling you, I'm mad. Can't even sleep at night. Then there's that other guy. Ain't no difference. He's telling Peter, he said, Peter, grace is going, no matter how you feel about it, I'll give you my grace, but you won't be able to embrace it and enjoy it. Same amount. And can you see it when he gets that? He hands it off to him. He looks at it. Sir, I must be a mistake. You understand, I came in last. I mean, I worked the last hour. He said, don't worry about it. I understand it. I just wanted you to have that. You take that home. Now, he's got the same as the other guy. Woo! He's heading out. He shows his buddy. He said, look at that. Look at that. And the guy looks at it and said, man, you only worked hard, didn't you? How'd you get all that? He said, I don't know. I can't figure it out. I talked to him, and they said, just go on with it.
Yeah.
I took an office and tried to give it back, and they said, get out of here.
Yeah.
Huh? Gets home, reaches down, kisses the dog on the ear, and goes in and hugs all the youngins and kisses the wife, said, look at here, baby. She looks at it. She said, honey, that's a whole day's wage. And I don't know what was wrong that he couldn't work but the hour.
Listen.
I'm going to suppose she'd been sick and he'd been up with. When you left out, I felt so bad that you had to stay here and watch the youngins because I was so sick. And we need to pay the bills. And I didn't know what was going on. How's that happen? He says, I don't know. The good man said it was his will and told me to take it and go on.
Amen, sir.
And he's squeezing the juice out of the same grace the other guy had, but didn't have sense enough to see it.
Yes.
Amen. Hey, let me tell you this.
Did you know that in God's grace economy, there is no alphabet of A, B, C, D, E, and there are no numerics? When God saved you, he didn't say, all right, I'm going to save you, but now you're a seven, okay? You're just seven. You always feel seven. And I'm going to make you a nine, okay? I'll save you. You're just a nine now, and you're 12, okay? And I'll make you a six. So you go through life feeling like a 12 or a six or 13, or maybe you feel better than us because maybe you're a three. God's grace doesn't figure that way. It has no figures.
Right. Amen.
God's grace, and tell me if this ain't so in your life, when he saved you, he made you feel first.
Sure.
He made you feel like you was his only child. I mean, when God saved me, honey, he saved me and gave me in such an overwhelming way, I felt like I was first. Now, I may have mentioned this. I'll just hurriedly say. Raised back in the hills of West Virginia. My dad was an alcoholic all of his days. I was raised in that environment. I buried four brothers and a dad because of alcohol. My mother left when I was a year and a half old. I was the last of the children. My dad never remarried. I never had a mother in the home. I never really had a dad. And we were raised in the worst of the worst of conditions because of alcohol. And because of the poverty of that, I always, no matter when I went to school, I felt ashamed. I always felt last. I mean, the house I lived in was just shambles and dirt. And I mean, we'd eat off the floor. If it hadn't been for bologna, wouldn't have had no food. And oxtails, of course, they tell me now that's pretty expensive. I mean, pinto beans and cornbread. I mean, I was raised in that environment. I've eaten the worst of the worst and slept in the worst of the worst and lived the worst of the worst. As a kid, been drug in and out of those bars, not by my will, but that's where I was taken by my brothers and my dad. And when I got to school, I always felt like everybody had more than I had. And I always felt like I was last. Amen. Timid and shy. Until one day, walking down a little old alley all by myself, after hearing the gospel, the good man of the house showed up.
Yes, sir.
The master of the field showed up.
Yes, sir.
And he took that gospel that had gotten in my head and brought it down to my heart. And he saved me. And what I felt like was, I was always last. I felt like I was last. But I felt like what he did is he walked all the way to the back of the line. And he put his arm around me. He saved me. He said, now, I just want you to know I ain't never going to leave you.
Amen.
And he said, I want you to come with me. You'll never be last again.
Amen.
And ever since then, I felt like I was first.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Now, I didn't say I felt like I was better than anybody else.
Right.
But I'm telling you, God's grace makes no lasts. And God's grace makes no seconds and thirds and fourths. God's grace, if you can see it and embrace it, will allow you to enjoy what you could not enjoy.
Amen.
If you didn't, Peter, I don't want you to come to heaven feeling last. You'll be mad when you get there. I want you to come in. I pastored a dear lady up on Roaring Creek, a blessed place. God really helped me there, just a little old church. Betsy Burleson was her name. She taught me more about faith than any person, just watching her life. But I would go by and visit her. When I walked into, such a saint she was, when I walked into that house, I felt like that I was the most important person, physically speaking, in her life. She made me feel first. I was overwhelmed. I said, but she just thinks I'm somebody. And one day I was sitting there talking to her, just me and her, and a stranger walked in that I didn't know that she did. And when they walked in, I noticed that within a split second, he felt the same way I did. I said, ain't that like God?
Amen, preacher.
Loving on all of us.
Amen.
Caring for all of us. Never leaving all of us. So that we don't have to work. We don't have to go through our lives being angry about everything. If you just look around, your life is full of His grace. Let's stand. Can I have my wife come play?
Yes, sir.
Maybe sing. Could be tonight you'd like to just come and thank Him for the grace that's all about you.
Oh, yes, preacher.
Or maybe you'd like to just come and say, Lord, I know I'm not worthy, and You didn't need me, but I'm so glad You saved me. And let me be a part of what You are doing. Thank You, Lord, for my wife. Thank You for my children. Thank You for my job. Thank You for my church. Thank You for my pastor and his wife and family. Thank You, Lord, for Your grace and Your salvation. Lord, thank You. My life has been filled with grace. You listen as she sings and let the Holy Ghost allow you to give worth unto Him that is worthy.
All of grace is my story all the way from earth to glory. Since by grace He lifted me from sin and woe, living grace He has extended as on Him my heart's depended, and He'll give new grace when it's my time.
Oh, thank You, Lord, for the abundance of grace everywhere.
Grace not yet discovered. Grace not yet uncovered. Grace from His bountiful store. Grace to cross the river. Grace to face forever. And there'll be new grace I've not needed before.
Oh, God, thank You for Your grace. Oh, thank You, Lord. Oh, the abundance.
For every trial.
Thank You for the field. Thank You for the sunshine. Thank You, Lord, for calling us and taking care of us. Thank You for Your love. Those that You've let be a part of our families. Thank You, Lord.
My heart more tender, grace to love and to pray for sinners, and there'll be new grace when it's my time to die. Grace not yet discovered, grace not yet uncovered, grace from His bountiful store. Grace to cross the river. Grace to face forever. And there'll be new grace I've not needed before. Grace is my story all the way from earth to glory, since by grace he lifted me from sin and woe. Grace he has extended, as on him my heart's depended, and he'll give new grace when it's my time to go. Grace not yet discovered, grace not yet uncovered, grace from his bountiful store. Grace to cross the river, grace to face forever, and there'll be new grace I've not needed before.
Sir, you look into the eyes of that wife until you see grace. It'll make a difference. Ma'am, you look into the eyes of that husband till you see the grace of God. It'll make a difference. Between being first and last, mad or glad. You just don't want to do figures on God.
Yes.
Got a brother-in-law who used to be a contract painter. Said he went to this place, has built some apartments. And he said he stopped there and he asked the owner, he said, you got any bad paint tips? He said, no, I'd like you to paint them. He said, well, you want us to do it by the hour? Said, we'll do it by the hour, and told him how much it'd be, and the guy got mad. Said, no, I ain't paying that much an hour to get this place painted. He said, well, how about if I just charge you one amount and then we'll paint it? He said, well, I'll do that. So they set it on a mount. And he said, we painted it in 4 hours. He said the guy was mad. He said, I can't believe you're charging me that much for 4 hours. He said, well, I was going to do it by the hour. So, hey, don't get to charging God. You don't want to get paid by the hour. According to your worth, your works. Just let him have his will and you'll be surprised.
I can't speak for you. I don't want what I deserve. I can't survive on what I'm worth. But I'm glad I don't have to live off of that. I'm glad I can live off everything he's got. I'm glad I'm not just an heir tonight. Heirs have to do all that figuring. But joint heirs ain't not any figure. It's just all on. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Say, well, how can I get in on that kind of stuff, preacher? Well, you know that prodigal that returned, why? He didn't even see himself as worthy to be a servant. The elder brother got what he deserved, what he thought it was worth, but my, the prodigal got to get in on all of it. Hallelujah for the grace of the Lord, amen. Tell you what, Miss Esther can play it, I know, Brother Brian. Let's close by singing a verse or two of grace greater than our sin. Don't you appreciate Holy Ghost preaching tonight? Holy Ghost preaching magnifies grace and kills religion at the same time. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for the marvelous grace of God. Amen. And it's available. unto you this night, amen. Leave your figuring all that mess behind and run to him, amen. All right, we'll do a verse or two. Kick us off, Brother Brian. Sing unto the Lord, amen. Oh, yes.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt,
that our worth
yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Why?
It's a good night to look. It's a good night to look. Sing it.
Grace.
The preaching of the Word of God and His good presence this night. Amen. I encourage you to be back for the service tomorrow night. Amen. To hear a little bit more, to step in a little further and to see what the Lord would have for you and have for me. Amen. Because you can rest assured of this. There ain't nothing on TV tomorrow night worth missing. The preaching that'll go on around here. Amen. And I'd say that if my team was playing. But absolutely, my team is not playing, but hallelujah. Visitors, we're glad to have you in the service tonight, amen. I encourage you to be back, join us as we'll seek to draw nigh unto the Lord. You shake hands with one another, speak to this dear preacher. You're at liberty, amen, if you know the grace of God tonight.